This week we had the joy of hearing Bronwyn's rendition of There Is a Balm in Gilead. I've always loved the lyrics of this particular spiritual. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged, and deep I feel the pain. In prayers the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can't pray like Peter, if you can't be like Paul, go home and tell your neighbor he died to save us all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the wounded soul. So much about those lyrics pertains to where each of us are in this moment. Some of us may be wounded. Some of us may feel discouraged. We feel the pain deeply. Our souls are in need of revival. We are in need of wholeness. Maybe we feel that our souls are sick with witnessing the systemic sins and ills of our world. Maybe we're looking for a sense of renewal, a sense of hope, and a sense of justice, not only in our own lives, but for our world. I was grateful that Nina chose this piece from Bronwyn to include this week, and I also enjoyed the fact that we are lifting up a composer of color this week by the name of Samuel Coleridge Taylor, who was a British composer who lived in the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century. Samuel Coleridge Taylor was born to a British mother and a father who was from Sierra Leone, but who was living in England, and his parents were not married. And his father was a physician. And at that time, Britain was so racist that he was unable to find any position to practice medicine at all. So he eventually returned to Sierra Leone and had no idea that he had a son. Samuel Coleridge Taylor had a difficult childhood. His mother was extremely poor. And he was made fun of for being a mixed-race child in British schools. His hair was set on fire. He was called names. But eventually he made his way into the Royal College of Music, which set off a career which brought him to the United States to be received by President Theodore Roosevelt. It was very rare at that time for a person of color to be received by the President of the United States, and his doing so led to him becoming extremely popular with African Americans in the United States. However, despite all of this, there was a sense of sadness to his life, because at that time, composers were not paid very well for their music. And it was oftentimes the practice to just outright sell the rights to a piece of music in order to make immediate income. This would not be a very good deal for a composer because it would not allow them to receive royalties as that music continued to be published and continued to be performed. Samuel Coleridge Taylor had a particularly famous piece of music called Hiawatha's Wedding Feast, and he made the mistake of selling it for a rather low price outright so that he would never be able to benefit from any of the royalties from this music, from this particular piece of music. And so this was a frustration for Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and he felt that he got a bad deal, and he felt like he didn't negotiate it well, and he always struggled financially, despite being an incredibly talented and prolific composer, a composer who was received by the President of the United States, a composer who had worldwide acclaim. He was often invited to be a judge at high-profile music festivals, and yet he was struggling financially. because he made some of these difficult decisions to attain immediate income given the difficult situation and social location that he found himself in as a person of color and a composer at this moment in time. And so that stress ultimately led him to die at a very early age. He passed away at the age of 37 of pneumonia, which was exacerbated, physicians believe, by his financial stress. Samuel Coleridge Taylor was always trying to put the pieces back together, it seems, but they just didn't fit right. And he was held up by a society that was not yet ready for a person of color who was brilliant and successful and had so much light and goodness to offer. But today we lift up Samuel Coleridge Taylor and are grateful for his contributions to music, and we lift him up in worship today. Speaking of putting the pieces back together, that is the theme of 2022. And one of the ways that we will do this is by discussing Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark. If you have not signed up for our book group, you can still do so. We can purchase the book for you and send it to you. It doesn't matter if you live locally or not. This is open to everybody. We will be meeting on Zoom, and we will start this right before Lent in late February. Also, speaking of Lent, we have Lenten boxes that we will be unveiling. I mentioned this in church last week. No, this is not a box of drier Lent. This is the different kind of Lent, and you will receive a Lenten box for each household that is members and friends of our church, and you can even invite others to be a part of this as well. All we need is their address. And this will help bridge our hybrid community and our in-person community so that we're working on one project together as one faith community. There will be some Zoom fellowship opportunities that will be a part of this, as well as some daily readings, some devotionals, and other things that will help us continue to not only learn to walk in the dark, but learn to put the pieces back together when we don't know what exactly the puzzle image is. I was thinking a lot about puzzles because I have a friend who is extremely interested in puzzles. And during the pandemic, he has put together on the upwards of 80 to 100 puzzles. And every time we go shopping together, he has to look at the puzzles if a particular store happens to carry them. And often, he wants a very challenging puzzle. It has to be 1,000 to 2,000 pieces. 500 just doesn't cut it. And he even started something called the San Diego Puzzle Exchange, which is for people who love puzzles and who go through them quickly and who want to exchange them for new ones that they have not already done. Now, I have a hard time relating to this because I am not a puzzle person. I feel like it strains my eyes, I feel like my shoulders hurt, like my back hurts, that I get frustrated, I'm impatient, but he finds them to be relaxing. He finds them to be rejuvenating. He finds them to be something that allows him to take abstract pieces and to put them together into something and to have a sense of accomplishment and reward at the end of that. And as I've watched him enjoy his passion for puzzles that was revealed during the pandemic as he continued to put more and more puzzles together, I've begun to realize that what we're doing together as a church is we are putting together a puzzle, but yet we don't have the box to know what picture it is that we are constructing together. That is coming into our awareness as we put each piece together. Also, on the note of that putting pieces together and constructing a church for the future, we will be having our annual meeting very soon. We will be having it on March 6th at 10:30 a.m. This is one of our virtual Sundays, so this will be when we are not in church. And so we will have our annual meeting virtually. And the reason for that is because we need a quorum. And right now, we probably can't get a quorum in person at church, and we have a lot of folks that are not coming to church yet in person, and we want to be inclusive of everybody. So Zoom is something that we all can do, and so we will come together on Zoom, but we will have a bit of a treat beforehand in that we'll have a Zoom worship service together before our annual meeting. And in the email that I have this message is attached to, you will see the variety of reasons on why we landed on that particular date. You will also see information that Nina has provided about the music and a couple links that I've provided in case you want to go deeper with any of this. Going deeper is our theme of Lent, and I look forward to going deeper, to going to the places where we will discover together what image we are creating, what puzzle we are putting together piece by piece. This journey and this adventure is all about going deeper together, going deeper as a community, and going deeper with God. And that's what it's all about. And that's why I love doing what I do, because I always love to go deeper. And it's always more fun to go deeper together. May it be so. Amen.